I hadn't played Overwatch
in like a week.
He took the blame for everything. Guys.
I mean, it's probably true.
No. I forgot to like switch my stance over on Lucio at one point. So I'm doing the speed stance.
So we're just like all dying.
My bad, guys. I'm supposed to be healing here and I'm not. Don't worry about it. I was also on stream, so...
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. Sorry about last week. We had some audio issues. Hopefully that was still listenable, I believe that's a word.
I found it unlistenable. But then again, I was almost unconscious.
Somebody tweeted out at you saying that you sounded like Rick from Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And I could definitely see the similarities by the end of it.
I blame Amelia for everything.
Yeah,
I was talking about the technical issues, but...
Yeah, technically, I drink too much.
That's part of the deal. If you listen to us, that's what you're in for. Yeah. The t-shirts are for sale on our website. We have 4 or 8 in stock, only larges and extra larges right now, but we will be getting more of that. So if you would like to get your official Hype Train t-shirt, check out dlgaming.net. And
the Steam group.
Steam group, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to mention Jason M. Dillon, one of our listeners, he has a thread up there where he's got games just available for free. If you get on our Steam group, he's got a list up there, and you can just pick out from that and
Is that the one where you sign up for betas? Games would be claimed.
No,
it's a different list.
He's got a different list. It's just games there that if people want them, he can give them to you.
Oh, nice.
Seriously?
And Bobby has one, too.
I posted every couple of weeks. Nothing fancy, no big titles. Occasionally there are some good ones on there, but look for those under the announcement section in the DL Gaming Steam group.
Go now.
The other thing I wanted to mention, so the Steam group's just DL Gaming, you know, is the Steam group name, so I encourage you to join. The other thing to mention is we all have put our Battle.net tags up there. And we're all playing at different levels of Overwatch. So if you're interested in playing Overwatch with us or other listeners, I encourage you to put your Battle.net tag up there.
Or Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Or Heroes of the Storm, yeah.
I have a question.
Or Hearthstone, because I've been playing some Hearthstone also.
Bobby, if you set our group to invite only, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't speak to anybody that's not your friend. How are you supposed to get into a group if... You can't contact anybody in the group, and then...
I think invite only is more like people in the group send invites out to people, and then they say yes, not... You don't
right,
like...
No, DL Gaming is not a public group?
No, it is.
We're public,
is.
Yeah. Oh. But I'm just saying, if you make it non-public,
it's
a weird...
I don't think you reach out to join it. I think people send you invites, and you say yes.
And that's just the only way.
I guess
you can choose who can invite and who can't. You know, so we could make it invite only and then make it so everyone who's already in the group could invite, but, you know, why?
Yeah.
Because Russians.
Yeah, we aren't that exclusive. Yep. All right. So, big story. I guess we're going to have to talk about this Pokemon Go.
We're talking about it because everyone is talking about it.
Are you guys, I know Chi and I have heard a lot of stuff on the internet. Are you guys seeing that same phenomena where every site
it's all
that
over
you go,
Twitter.
Yeah. Okay.
So, people are trying to be funny. I don't get the jokes because it just shows a Pokemon. So, it's augmented reality? Is that what it is?
When you're capturing the Pokemon, it goes into AR.
And they're just randomly around town?
I think they're pretty selective. You'll find more water Pokemon near bodies of water, more rock Pokemon near, you know,
that's
dry
awesome.
Terrain.
No, it's really cool. And also, weather affects what Pokemon are available.
Wow.
Night and day.
Night and day.
Affects what type of Pokemon
are. Can you find Pokemon indoors?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Okay. I had somebody make a comment that they found an EV behind their toilet or something like that.
It's hilarious. That's cool. Because, like, you don't want people bringing their phones out in the rain. So.
Well, I mean, this is causing some issues. People are
jumping over bridges for crying out loud for this game.
Because it gives you how many meters away. It kind of estimates how many meters away things are.
If anybody's jumping over a bridge, we don't need those people.
Well, people are getting hit by cars. The people are like...
Yeah, we don't need them. Go fuck themselves.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Natural selection.
There's also a report. So they have these things called lures, and you can throw down a lure, and more Pokemon spawn around
I'm guessing
lure.
A lure costs money.
You can get them from the Poke stores, or you can purchase them for money. Yeah,
them.
But
Bob, like
you're going to be chuckling a lot in this.
You can get it from the Poke store. Yeah. Do you have to spend Poke bucks?
What's the coins? It's just.
I'm not sure what it is. Some type of Pokemon
it could be.
Currency. If I had my cell phone out, I could look it up. The terminology itself, but you could either earn them through
Pika
just
chips?
Playing the game and going out and finding different. So far, so when you load the game, it's very much like the beginning of any other Pokemon game. You create your character, and you're greeted by a professor. This one is Professor Willow. He lets you know that you need to go out in the world, but be aware of your surroundings while you go out and discover and become a Pokemon Master. And I'm not sure how many Pokemon you can discover. Is it just the original 151?
I think it's not that. I don't think it's that high. I think it's like 120 or something like that, but I don't know the exact number.
No, what do you do once you get the Pokemon?
Okay. So there's a couple things out in the world. So these Poke stores, which are related to actual places in the real world. So
like GameStops?
Yeah, like I have a Carl Strauss by my house, by my work, and it has a Poke store connected to it.
Dude. This
and
is so smart.
Yeah.
So you can walk up to the Poke store and you every couple of minutes you can just get Pokeballs for free and it'll have a chance to drop eggs and some other stuff.
And a Pokeball, what's a Pokeball?
That's
so basically, okay, so this is how it works. It's like connected to Google Maps. So when you get in there, your little icon is connected to where you are in the real world. And around you, maybe 200 meters around, you can see rustling and other things. So if you walk to something, the Pokemon will kind of appear, and you click on it, and then it goes into this augmented reality. So it looks through your phone, and you see the Charmander or the Pikachu or whatever the hell it is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of a mini game where you try to capture it with the Pokeball. So you kind of flick the Pokeball to hit the Pokemon, and then the Pokeball will capture the
Pokemon. And if you miss, you just lose the Pokeball.
You lose your Pokeball.
Yeah.
And it runs away?
You lose
Sometimes
it. And
they
then
do.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to capture?
It depends.
Yeah, I'm only level 3, so...
I'm very low level as well, but I came across a Zubat. And it was so funny trying to capture that.
Yeah,
thing because
that thing's
originally,
hard.
No, Zubats are tricky to get because they flutter around, they're moving
back they're
and
moving.
Forth.
Oh,
and when
wow.
have you ever played Paper Toss where you
I know what you're talking about,
exactly.
Yeah.
You have the Pokeball right in front of you and you flick it and it goes a certain distance.
Right.
And then you have to make it land on the Pokemon.
Yeah.
And
it's hard.
There are different
Some
colors
of them are hard.
And different gauges whether or not how difficult the Pokemon is to catch. But they do move on the screen, so you have to have some type of and sensibility.
So back to Bobby's question, once you have a Pokemon,
okay, so beyond the Poke stores, even more rare are these Pokemon gyms.
Okay.
And the gyms are where the Pokemon are supposed to fight each other.
Okay. once you're level five.
So what you can do is you can, if you're the first one to a gym, you can claim that gym.
There are three main teams. Once you pledge to a team, you can take over a gym and hold that gym.
Yeah. Now, these gyms are places of business?
Yeah.
Pokemon,
there's one
Chipotle, let's say.
But they're usually connected to bigger things, I've seemed to notice.
Like Target?
Grocery stores.
So grocery stores.
This is an actual store. Like, there's a person there. Like, if you
No. This is all in virtual reality.
Oh, okay.
But so in virtual reality, you can walk up. There's a big, high-rise next to my work that's actually a gym. So if you get close to this high-rise, you can actually click on the gym, and then you can challenge the Pokemon that's the Pokemon that's claim the gym so and fight against them.
Mm-hmm. In real time or the computer controls it?
Asynchronous. So you claim the gym and your guys are there, and then other guys can try to take it over from you, so then you'd have to go back and claim it again.
Right.
So
do you ever play live against other people?
Not right now. So two of the things that they haven't implemented yet, you can't trade Pokemon, which it was a big thing with Pokemon, was trading, because right. you couldn't get them all, so you had to trade to get all the Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And number two is fighting actively against people. So if I'm playing the Pokemon Go and she's playing Pokemon Go, we can't just walk up and battle each other. But that's a thing that Pokemon normally does.
It's turned Pokemon into like a real life.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's geocaching. It's very similar to that.
So as soon as they get to the point where you could play somebody else straight up, that will make it pretty much just like the cartoon.
Very similar.
At that point, right?
The other thing that's not accurate yet is Pokemon traditionally is you take turns and you choose your attack, and then they do the attack against each other. This
it's all automated.
It's not automated. You're like dodging attacks basically and push left and right. So it's a more simplistic combat than it is normally in Pokemon.
But it's more twitch based than it is strategy.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not level 5, so you can't even fight until you get level 5.
Oh, okay.
But what I've heard is it involves dodging and using your special and stuff. So
We should make it a mission to see what we can do with Pokemon Go by the next podcast.
I'm pretty intrigued.
No, yeah. You should, because everybody is playing it, not just gamers, not just people who grew up with Pokemon, but everyone is talking about it, whether you're a gamer or not, especially of our generation, those who did grow up collecting Pokemon cards and playing the Pokemon games. Playing it. It's an excuse, and I had this conversation today, where it's an excuse for adults to care about Pokemon again.
And here's the deal. So you can get these eggs, and there's 2-kilometer eggs, 5-kilometer eggs, and 10-kilometer eggs. You put them in these incubators, and they don't hatch until you've traveled that distance, right?
Just period?
Yeah. So you have to have the game on and going, and then travel 10 kilometers to open
it. I feel like Fig Sack's going to run his his big rig right off the road.
Well, it doesn't count. It knows if... It's supposed to know if you're in a car.
How about a bike?
And it doesn't. A bike works.
The Samsung Health app that I have that counts my steps, it's really good at telling whether or not you're in a car or whether or not you're walking.
Yeah. So theoretically, you're not supposed to. It's not supposed to work in a car.
So you're getting exercise too.
That's what I'm saying. Like these people that have these hardcore gamers are like now going out in the world, and since it has congregation spots,
yeah.
People are now like
meeting each
other. I'm seeing shots of people in the real world, like 10 people all circled around a gym or a Pokestop, because you have to travel to these places to get things.
And not just that.
It's got to be confusing for cops. It's got to look like the nerdiest
gang ever. There's some issues being caused. Like,
oh, yeah, I've heard about
it. Like terror threats. Like there was one county that had a terror threat, but they were playing this one, and the police station was the gym, so there was like people circling the police station, and the police didn't know what was going on.
I'm way off here, it's because I thought the buildings weren't at random. I thought Carl Strauss paid
Pokemon
Go, but obviously that's going to be a thing.
Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, want people in your building, right? If your target,
that's a really good idea.
That's why I was thinking.
For instance, I caught my Zubat in my bar. I should send out a
Zubat's available.
A social, yeah. Catch your Zubat here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, at my bar.
to finish the story that I brought up earlier, lures are these things you can get, and you drop them down, and then Pokemon spawn around you for a certain amount of time. So this. This group of criminals basically dropped lures down to attract people to come to here, and then was mugging them.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. This is a report.
That sounds like a troll.
No, yeah,
I heard about it. Someone else told me that story as well.
Criminals are ingenious people.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's like a supervillain.
But this is cool, because this is actually
the Rocket Team.
Right?
The Rocket Team.
The Rocket Team. Holy fucking shit. That's hilarious. Nice one.
This is actually using a mobile device as a mobile device. Like, normally, our idea of mobile gaming is quick games, right? Yeah. Because this is things that you can only do for 30 seconds at a time. But these are actually using the mobile device as it's intended.
Yeah. It's a mobile social real life game. I like that. It forces you to interact, but there are certain, you know, dangerous aspects about it. There's
no, just for idiots.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. I read an article, I think it was on Kotaku, where a black man said, as a black male, it is not safe for me to play Pokemon Go, especially in this day and age where where they're getting, you know, reprimanded by cops, actually killed by cops, and it sent wandering black men on the street. But, you know, that's just, you know, just one of the premises. I mean, if you're out wandering and not trapped in your room playing a video game, there is potential risks to it, whether it's falling off a bridge or getting shot.
Well, to wrap this up a little bit, it's only available right now in a couple countries, USA and Australia being two of them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the other world doesn't have this right now because you have to map out the entire country has, you know, gyms and Pokestops on throughout the entire country, so they have to like map this all out. The other thing is they are going to be releasing in July or next month, I believe, they're going to be releasing a Bluetooth device that will actually, you can capture Pokemon without looking at your phone. So they're trying to solve the problem of people staring at their phone to get it. So just it'll like
give everyone a Google Glass, like, and we're all good.
Yeah, it'll like vibrate or something when.
Oh, and you can pull your phone out then.
Well, it'll allow you to capture them without having to like get your phone. I don't know exactly. So that's coming out a little bit.
This has a lot of opportunity. There are a lot of potential. A lot. Yeah. Like I was saying, obviously monetarily. Any bar or something, they can make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. A Jamba Juice can make a lot of money. They're going to get tired throwing all those Pokeballs around all day.
Seriously.
That's a very good point. I actually call myself, the way I play Pokemon Go is I play it stationary. I only check my phone when I'm in a new area. For instance, when I'm out at getting dinner or getting a drink, I'll be like, oh, I'm in a different part of town. Let me check my phone to see if there's anything I can capture. I have yet to move a foot to capture Pokemon. Gotcha. So the whole concept of Pokemon Go making people move, for me, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm already on the go, and then I'm checking my phone and capturing Pokemon and really discovering things nearby. But I see for a lot of people who are actually putting in effort are getting a lot more out of the game. I also noticed, too, in more, for instance, I live out by the beach. When I load up my map, I see so many different Pokemon stops, shops, and gyms, and just from looking at my map, and not even going to them, but looking at them and not even having to go far, I can click on a, I don't remember what it's called, but it's just it's a pinpoint on the, in the area that allows me to collect extra items.
Yeah, that's the Poke Store.
It's like a mural. It, like, you know, it's looking at a Poke tag.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
before.
It's where little things like monumental places in the map, if you tag it, you just spin the picture and it gives you Pokeballs.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it allows you to explore.
Store.
No, it's not a store.
No, she's talking like a treasure trove.
I'm just
I know that's what a Pokestore is for this game.
Oh,
like
really?
You just bring it up and you scroll it and then it gives you some Pokeballs.
Yeah.
And maybe an egg.
Store?
Yeah.
There's so many.
The only way to purchase is you go into the, you can purchase anywhere and you just,
you know why?
Go in.
Because there's so much shit in your area because everybody in PB is fucking each other. They're not playing Pokemon.
No, but, and then I went out, I drove maybe 2 hours and into some very suburban area and I checked my Pokemon.
Yeah, if you look right here, there's nothing.
I feel bad for those in more rural areas because
the competition's
higher. Out of your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to go out of your way to really find these Pokestores.
Just go on a Pokeball road trip.
Yeah. I take a bike around the beach and I can level up like
theoretically, you have to travel to get everything because there's certain Pokemon that are only available in certain regions.
Wow.
Like, here, this is considered grass. You can only get mountain Pokemon in mountain areas or water Pokemon. You got to be next to water.
Right, right. I will be the water master. I'll be the Misty. I'll be the teen group.
Because you're right by the ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to be the Brock. Be Ash.
So many. I've talked to maybe 4 or 5 people that have never played Pokemon that are playing, including myself. I don't know any of these things that I'm picking up.
Game Boy Color, I played one.
Yeah.
You guys.
So
didn't play Pokemon. Were you at least
we're older
in
than
the
you are? Yeah,
series.
We played Magic the Gathering.
See, I when things Pokemon were difficult. Was sold to my generation.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And you guys aren't that much older than me. What
we
no,
missed?
We did.
We
miss
missed
Pokemon,
it by
though.
Just like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. You guys were in middle school when it came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, probably
because when we were getting out of like when we were getting out of Magic the Gathering, like we'd see the Poketards,
yeah,
as we would call them.
Yu-Gi-Oh! And yeah, Pokemon.
Like Pokemon is for babies?
Yeah,
I
exactly.
was a baby then, I guess.
Yeah. We scoffed at Pokemon because yeah. it was like, oh, that's for kids.
Yeah.
We were playing Magic. We were the sophisticated ones.
Yeah, whereas yes. I went out and I bought like the first official Pokedex and I memorized all yeah. 151, 152 Pokemon, original
Dang.
Pokemon. I did. I was nerdy.
Should we see how many you can name off right now?
Not right now.
No, that was not a long right time ago.
Bobby okay. would kill us, I think. Bobby's so over
Bobby's got any more questions?
Bobby's like, what is this? He didn't even know what a Pokeball was.
So, Bobby, you no that? Interest in this, I'm guessing.
No, not really. I mean, maybe I'll check it out because so many people are playing it. I did place a little bit of Pokemon on whatever that converter Snapchat. Was when you put the Game Boy game into the converter and then you plugged it into your Super Nintendo. Played a little bit of it on that. And I actually played a little bit of the card game as well. It was a little simpler than most card games, but nevertheless fun. But I don't know, the whole Japanese animation thing like kind of turned me off, and I was just outside of the range. Like had I been born maybe 2 or 3 years younger, I probably would have been into it.
It would have been your jam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly. I don't know, I never really took to anime. But what is the Pokemon Go? I see you have it written here with a capital G-O. Is that stand for something, or is that just...
I don't...
Like,
I wondered the same thing, because you're big into Hitman Go and all these other Go series.
Yeah, the same
I don't
company,
think
right?
it's the same company.
Wow.
I think... I don't
But I guess you can't trademark Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think...
It'd be Pokemon Global Offensive.
This is by... this is
Bobby
by,
with the big jokes.
This is by a company called Niantic or something like that. And they
Hats
actually...
off, Niantic. Don't fuck this up, because you got something special here.
How well, many copycats do you think we're going to see, though?
Well,
Digimon?
This is the only Nintendo-licensed one, so...
Well, I don't mean... I'm just saying, like... I bet we see a Star Wars version of this. I bet we see a Ninja Turtle or whatever. You know, they're just going to use every IP out there and just turn it into the same thing.
Well, see, the thing is...
When Disney gets their hand on it, they'll do it right.
This was kind of a fortuitous blending because this company actually had a real-world MMO called Ingress, I believe it was called.
Okay.
And it was basically the same thing where you'd go out in the real world... And they'd have these markers, and you could do things within this world. I'm not exactly sure. So they basically took this whole... They had already built this whole thing up, and they reskinned it for Pokemon. So I think this was a lot of years... And that game was in development for like 5+ years or something like that, is what I heard. And I'm not sure. This is... Take it with a grain of salt.
Right.
I read this on the internet. So I think it took a lot of work to get something like this going, because... There's a place by my work, and so when you walk up to like a stop or a gym, it has a picture connected to it. This picture, I don't know how they got this picture. It is like back, I was thinking that they got it from Google Maps, but this is like back away
Google
from
goes,
the street.
Google is inside of buildings as well. They have dudes that wear backpacks.
Really?
Yeah.
And because so, like it's these
impressive.
Sculptures.
Yeah.
I would assume it was just the Google car.
Yeah,
no. So people get out of the cars and they wear backpacks and they walk through buildings.
Okay, so maybe that you did the, yeah. get it from Google Maps, because these pictures are not they don't look like they're from Google Maps. They look like somebody went and took these pictures. It's crazy.
Yeah. Cool. So moving on. Chad, you want to get into Hacknet?
Oh yeah. So I'm going to go off on a little tangent here because I was having a fucking blast playing this game. Bobby, have you played Hacknet?
No.
Is okay. it a PC game?
What's up?
Is it a PC game? Or
it's a PC game.
Game.
This okay. is PC. It's one... I looked at this game, and I was interested in getting it, but I didn't want to spend as much money as it was. It was on sale during the Steam sale, so I... So I bought it.
How much is it?
I don't... Bobby, can you bring that
yeah,
up?
I'm bringing it up.
You don't remember how much you spent on it?
No, I don't. I think I spent $5 on it.
Oh, okay. That's
but
cool.
I think it's regular like $15, if I remember correctly.
Looks like
$9.99. So worth it. I'm having so much fun. Like, giddy like a schoolgirl, I was having this smile on my face. So the concept of this game is you are a hacker and you get basically notified that another hacker had something's happened to this other hacker, and he's leaving you messages because he knew something was going to happen. So he's leaving you messages, and you are basically trying to hack and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. No, I'm giggling because, like, I'm giggling like a schoolgirl, as you are, because I'm just watching the preview on this, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, so...
The first thing I see is fried chicken in my face, and it reminds me of this morning when I ate my chicken and waffles. It's awesome.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen that fried chicken thing. So this game is about hacking. So you can type it all on the keyboard, or you can actually pull it down from the GUI interface that they have there. So one of the cool concepts it has is it has this RAM on the side, and it looks kind of like a notepad or something. So you can actually store notes up there. So if you need to connect to a certain IP address, you can store that IP address or whatever on the side.
It looks like.
But if you're actually using trace programs or other hacking programs, it actually takes up that RAM on the side. So you can't use multiple things. You can fill up your RAM, and then you can't use...
Yeah.
So it's got this cool mechanic over on the right-hand side. So it forces you to think about what you need to use at the right amount of time. Because usually while you're hacking into something, it's got a timer going. You know,
yeah,
like, you're trying to, like, run it down. So you got this very, like... You feel like this sense of urgency as you're trying to hack into it.
From an outside first perspective, it is overwhelming to say the least. You know, you put this in front of Grandpa and he'll have a heart attack. There's a lot of words and lines and little. Yeah.
It looks like you're actually hacking.
Yeah.
And there's no. You're not controlling a character or anything.
Nope.
It's all just text based.
Text. Yeah.
Right.
And so it's got a very movie feel to it. You feel like you're movie hacking, and I'm sure like a real hacker would see this and just like scoff
right.
at you.
But who cares?
But it had that same feel. Like I was so excited, and it has enough diversity. So each time you go into something else, it keeps building on itself. So
Chad, I didn't quite understand. The thing on the side is your notepad where you can keep notes.
It's your RAM.
Okay.
So you can store messages there. You can have computers available to do different things, or when you run your your different hack
programs.
So
let's say abilities and hints start to get disabled the more RAM you use.
No, you only have that amount. So if you use kind of a web hack, it takes up a chunk like this. You know, this big.
Do you have the option not to use the web hack?
No, you have to break a certain amount of ports to be able to use to use the port hack.
Okay.
So you have like a FTP hack or you've got a web hack,
right?
And they each take up different amounts and they take a different amount
so
of time.
It seems like as the difficulty rises,
exactly.
The more RAM things are going to be
you,
using.
And then you have they're running trace programs on you, so the timer's counting down, so you can like try to intercept their trace routes and stuff like that. So
this sounds like so much fun. What did you find or hear about this?
I don't know. I read an article I think about it, and it just kind of appealed to me. Anyways, it's got enough challenge that I've almost had to look stuff up.
Yeah.
But I haven't yet because I really want to focus on doing this game right.
Do you have any idea how far you are? And how
well,
long
I'm looking
took?
At, see all those green dots down at the bottom right there on that screen? Those are all different computers. So I'm set up more like this one where there's only like 8 or 9.
Oh,
but
geez.
See this one with like 100?
Yeah.
So I don't know how deep I am. It could be, right. I could be only like a third of the way through.
Cool. And for under $10, I mean, for somebody that's...
Oh, and the other thing I want to mention is it's got the like prototypical music. You know, when the guy in the movie starts hacking and it's got like the like electronic music, it's just always playing and it kind of gets repetitive. But I tried playing without my headphones on
and it didn't work.
Just not the same effect at all.
Kind of mundane. Kind of writing a program.
So it was just awesome.
I feel like even though I haven't played this game, I feel like this game would do great with that whole Metal Gear Solid comm.
Yeah,
you know
for
what
sure.
I mean? Where you get that dial in, a face pops up, and they're like, what do they call them? Snake? Not just Snake.
Solid Snake?
Yeah, Solid Snake. You know, and then they're like, you have to do this, you have to do that, but hurry, time is running out.
Yeah.
You know, that's
for sure. For sure.
It's like, it's definitely one of those.
Do you have people talking to you? Giving you hints?
No talking. Well, they email you, so it's all just written.
Right.
But let me tell you a couple of things that I've done so far. So I've had to break into a phone through a nearby laptop. I had to delete a prison file. I had to give a man a college degree that hadn't earned it, and nice. I had to, and I actually had to kill him, euthanize a man by hacking into his pacemaker. So those are kind of some of the different things that you have to do in this game.
Now, this all comes with the caveat that Chad loves, like, reading anything text based.
Reading and puzzles, because this is basically a puzzle game.
And it's a puzzle text based.
Chad
so.
Yeah. Zork.
So I this think. Is.
Chad jacks off at Literotica.
Yeah.
You know, just so you know what level.
So basically, this game is perfect for me. So I'm not saying it's perfect for everybody. Again, this game's called Hacknet.
How many text dicks have you typed in? A=D squiggle that's not, tilde.
That's not. I don't how do that.
He likes like those? Big purple. Throbbing. He likes descriptive.
You know that, but I think
we're getting a little off topic here.
A-S-C-I-I.
This is Dicks. Your Binding of Isaac.
Acedix.
Well, I don't say that. I'm going to play through this once and probably be done with it.
Right.
But I'm enjoying the playthrough immensely. So that's it.
Happy for
Hacknet.
That's
buy like, it.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Bobby, what do you think? Interest?
Yeah, it looks good. I've heard good things about this game. It's kind of been on my radar, but there's a lot of hacking sims out there on Steam. There's a big series out there. I think it's just called Hacker. I don't think the reviews are that good, but supposedly this is the best one out of all those.
Well, judging by how much fun I had on this one, I might check out some other ones. It would be unfortunate if I went to the best one and all of the other ones are a downstep from this one. But
well, I'm pretty sure that's the case. Let me look up the title. I think it's called, like, what is it, Data Hacker? Yeah, Data Hacker, Corruption, Reboot, Initiation.
Now, am I completely crazy? Is there not a game called Hack.net?
That's a huge game.
That's a huge game, right?
Huge game. And I thought that Steam. Was what you were referencing.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought
it's so close. And I mentioned it to you, Chad, because I thought that's what you were playing.
I know of, like, isn't there...
It's not on Steam, Bobby.
It's a hack.
Dot Hack. It's called Dot Hack.
Dot Hack.
I think that's an anime. Isn't it an anime?
It's an anime and video game series. It's a video game series first off.
Now... we're going down a rabbit hole. This is not what I was talking
about
either.
If you've heard of the anime Sword Art Online, that came out well long after that.
Yeah.
Dot Hack is an actual anime where I think you're in the game, you're a real person that jumps into an MMO.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but there's another one called Hack.net. And this is
not
like
Hack?
I don't know that one.
And that's but I got to look into it. I tried playing it. There's these games like Door Fortress and Hack.net.
While we're playing a podcast?
Door Fortress?
No, I needed the name.
Oh.
Yeah, Door Fortress is huge. It's a big, gigantic PC game. And it's so difficult. Just the level of just starting the game is so... If there's any listeners out there that know how to play this game and want to walk me through it like a five-year-old, I've been trying it. I've tried Hack.net and I've tried Door Fortress and I just can't.
I don't know what the fuck you're. Door Fortress?
These are Dwarf Fortress.
Dwarf
Fortress. Bobby, you've heard of this.
Oh, Dwarf Fortress. Yeah. That sounds a little better than Door Fortress.
You want to interject right now with another mobile game. It's called Super Stickman Golf 3. And I've been having a lot of fun with it.
I love Stickman games.
I play a lot of. So every one that I recommend, there's probably four or five games that I kick off, right? I download them and just they're gone. This one doesn't push you to spend money, and it's just a lot of fun. It's just a little physics game.
No ads?
No ads. There are ads, yeah, but okay. They're not obnoxious or anything.
What was it called again?
That is, God damn you.
It's Super Stickman Golf 3.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like...
Between Galaxy of Heroes and Pokemon Go, there's absolutely no time for me to play any other mobile game.
Let Galaxy of Heroes... Nobody cares about Galaxy of Heroes, man.
This is funny how I said I don't play a single mobile game, and then Pokemon Go comes out, and I actually download my first mobile game.
There you go.
By the way, you're the one that... I was like, what's Pokemon Go? Because I was playing Overwatch with her, and she's like, oh, I got to download Pokemon Go. And I was like, what the hell is Pokemon Go?
It was the first night it released.
Yeah. And then the next day.
We'll talk further into what it's like playing with
Pokemon Go. Really famous people on Twitter are tweeting out there.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. It's crazy.
Okay. So I played Battlefleet Gothic, Armada. and it is a Warhammer 40K game, and they didn't. What happens with a lot of these these small game developers or large game developers, it doesn't matter. They get this license. It's almost like getting, you know, the Star Trek license or something, and they feel that it's just going to carry their game through. This is not the case here. The production value is very high. It's Warhammer in space with large fleets. So you know, capital ships. You have capital ships, but you also have battle cruisers and stuff like that. But battle cruisers are very small. There's no fighters. The very smallest you can get is boarding parties. You can shoot boarding parties over. So basically what it is, it's a pirate game in space.
To be honest, from first impressions and what you just said, it's a pirate game in space. I'm thinking Eve. Is this Warhammer's interpretation of Eve Online?
Eve is way more complex than this.
Okay.
This doesn't even have 360
It's flat movement. Plane.
It's a flat plane.
Okay.
So you can't go up or down. It's just like if you were on a boat.
This reminds me of Rogue Galaxy.
I don't know. So I saw that on your PS4.
Is this more a game for Warhammer fans or Eve fans?
If you're a space armada type person, you'll probably like this. I really like the production value. I mean, when the orcs were introduced and they had their little video, I had a smile on my face and I giggled a couple times because when they brought them in, I didn't even know the orcs were in this. I thought it was just Chaos versus Order. And then the orcs come in and then,
What the hell did they make their fleet out of? That's what I want to know.
So
it's like shit and sticks.
They're gorgeous.
Master fleet.
These Warhammer 40K orcs actually are space worthy and stuff.
Really?
They're not like normal orcs. They're like, like other orcs.
So anyway, these ships are like cathedrals flying through space. They're gorgeous. Gothic was not used lightly in this. It's all Gothic themed. It's exactly like I said. It's like Gotham City flying through space, but every ship is like a little neighborhood. I mean, they're beautifully modeled.
Is it WASD controls?
No, this is point and click. But you can slow down the action because each one of your ships in your armada has special abilities.
Oh, gotcha.
And you got to jump to each one. It's fun. It's really fun.
So it's almost an RTS.
It's real time, but it's real time. Not only is it real time, but taking out a capital ship takes like 5 minutes.
Oh, gotcha.
And you got to pound.
It's almost
on this
like
thing.
A base, right?
It's like a base, yeah. But you're constantly circling each other, trying to broadside each other.
Yep. Okay.
And so there's a lot of broadsiding, a lot of like circling, and trying to minimize damage. And you can like power your shields here or there, but
Are there building elements to this? No, not at all.
The only building elements are that you go to the shipyards. And you buy new ships, whatever ships you think is, because you have it's kind of like playing the real game, the tabletop game. You have a certain amount of points.
Gotcha.
So yes, you can have three capital ships,
but that's all you get.
And that's all you get.
Yeah.
Or you could have 40 little dudes.
Yep.
And just shed them out there. So there's a lot of, before the game starts, there's a lot of like different options, but once you get in the game, it's pretty much you're going to go up against these guys and you're going to try to, you can set them on automated if you want, but you're probably better off doing, I put it on easy because I suck at these kind of games, but I'm having a good time. I think the production level is really high.
How much is this,
Bobby? $39.99.
Okay. It says recent as mixed. I'm starting
not to enjoy this recent and overall thing because I don't get it a lot of the time.
Reviews, by the way.
Yeah, the reviews. So the reviews on Steam are mostly positive. So I guess people really didn't like this game. But I'm a sucker for production value and it's super high.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who and what company made this? Is this a company that we know of?
Tindalos Interactive.
Yeah.
Do not know them.
That's what I'm saying. Whoever wanted the 40K fucking name, they just got it.
Bobby, I know you were a big Black Flag person, ergo pirates, any interest?
The orcs were singing pirate songs, dude, flying through space. It was really fucking dope. And they have a big red button, and the big red button means ramming speak and will explode. Gotcha. Like they try to fly into you and explode.
Yeah.
But you need to, you know, flank them. It's the only way to beat them.
Bobby, any interest?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, there's a lot of Warhammer. I haven't delved into the Warhammer series at all, and I feel like there's a lot of games I'd play before this one.
Okay.
Like, how much do I have to build something up for you to even be a little bit...
Bobby knows what he likes.
Yeah.
He stays in his lane, you know?
Yeah, it could be a good game. I'm sure it is. It's just, you know, there's lots of good
games.
It's
Pirates in Space, bro.
Wasn't that the best VR game he was at? I mean, the
Space
game
Pirate Trainer?
Space Pirate Trainer, yeah.
Space Pirate Trainer.
The one where he didn't move his feet once.
Bobby, okay.
Oh, there's this VR game, Bobby, called Alien 3.
When are we getting back and testing out VR games?
Because it's gone. So much fun. It's gone.
We don't have the VR as of right now, but no more VR. Emil's going to be buying it soon.
Yeah, as soon as Bobby gives me the money, we'll...
car wash fundraiser or Twitch fundraiser.
As soon as 500 of you buy t-shirts.
500.
Because we have 7 in stock.
Yep.
You 7 listeners buy 500.
Yes.
Bobby, I need you to look up a couple games that I'm talking about next here.
All right, what game?
They're both Kickstarter games. I did one Kickstarter previous to this, and that was that Forced Showdown game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this week...
Which is kind of a flop. Probably.
The last game I contributed money to Kickstarter was a major flop, but it made the creator rich as fuck. So I don't know how to feel
about
Kickstarter games. The Stomping Land.
Oh, so Chad did that.
I did that too.
Yeah.
You played?
That was early access.
I don't feel
like that game flopped major. I don't know the guy, but it never really even came out.
That was Steam early access. This is Kickstarter. Okay. Have you done Kickstarter before?
No, they had a Kickstarter in order to fund the development of the game.
See, I only did the early access.
In Steam.
So, Bobby, I got it up on our notes. The two games are Wizards of Legend and Pray for the Gods. And Camilo, I want you to take a look at these games and tell me your thoughts, because both these games I was like, oh yeah, Camilo would. I almost bought the two key pack for Wizards of Legend because I can definitely see.
What did you think? What is it? What was your first impressions?
So Wizard of Legend is an 8-bit style game. And you play as a wizard, and it's very action oriented, but at the same time you're casting spells.
Okay.
And there's the
procedurally generated.
Ooh. I believe it's got some roguelike elements, but as you can see, you're doing some attacks.
Yeah. So it's the top down dungeon crawler. Yes.
Yep. Procedurally generated.
Very action oriented.
Yep. And you like earn these cards, these arcanes, to be able to get these different spells and all. So it just looked really cool, and I'm down to support a game like that.
Sure. Oh, co-op.
And it's got...
Co-op, that's cool.
And it's got co-op, and
what
also...
What do you mean by procedurally generated? I'm sorry.
That means that the computer is making it up as you go.
No way, that's cool.
Yeah. And
or
so
randomly generated.
Yeah. It's randomly generated. They call it procedurally generated because it's got limitations. If it's random, there's chances of it for failing. So they put in procedures to make sure you can get through the level or whatever.
Oh, wow. That's not how I...
Are
you sure about that?
Yeah.
Is that procedurally generated? Binding of Isaac?
So,
yes.
Randomly generated.
Oh, what?
Well, it's procedurally generated because it always has, an exit, and you can always get to the exit. There's no, ways that the walls are cut off.
Hmm. I have a complete... We got to look into this because I think you might be wrong. Because I think procedurally generated is I start walking in a certain direction in a game, and if there's nothing there created yet, it makes the new horizon, and then I walk into that horizon, and then it makes that as I go. And it's making the world up as I go, as opposed to randomly where you go into a new level, and it just makes a new level, and there it is.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
But anyways...
school us.
The other one.
Right in.
So Wizard of Legend, it was that one. It's Kickstarter. I think I spent $15 for it. on Kickstarter right now.
Ooh, Prey of the Gods. Beautiful. This looks awesome.
Okay, first impression, let me just say Shadow of the Colossus from Pictures.
So this,
Chad loves that game.
This is a boss fight game. So
Shadow of the Colossus.
Exactly like Shadow of the Colossus.
Amazing.
But it looks way better.
And it's beautiful, of course. I mean, that
another PC game. I think they are looking for, what, 300,000? They're over halfway there. But it's Shadow of the Colossus Part 2, it looks like to me, where you just fight these bosses, and each boss has a unique way that you kill them and all. It looks really
visually
pretty.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was super excited when I saw this one also, so I've backed this one. So judging by the two games that I've gotten, what do you guys think? You guys
well,
interested?
This one,
Pray for the Gods.
I got to give them some money.
Let me go home and give them at least, you know, I would definitely support
at least
this
a smooch.
Game. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys accept smooches?
they're invaluable.
Please. But I think both of these are done by new studios. Neither one of them have any games on the resume.
Well,
that
it all comes
of.
With that inherent risk.
Yeah.
A lot
so
of
keep it with a
stuff.
Grain of salt. I think both of these are slated to release early next year. So they're probably about 6 months away from actually release is what they're slated for. So
yeah. Keep pictures of your programmers off. We don't need to see that.
No,
a lot of Kickstarters take that approach.
I like that they have that approach where you get to know the people behind
it. Personalize the whole thing, huh?
Absolutely.
Or humanizes the whole thing.
All right, so I guess...
Good for you, man. How much did you put for each one?
I think each one was $15. So I did $15.
And that's what you would pay for these games. That's
exactly.
It's like... Go on Kickstarter. If you've never done one, just go on Kickstarter and just... how would you look... How would you find these games, Chad?
So this one, I'm a frequent imager user.
Oh, right.
And... They
the
both
photos sell it alone.
They were both front page imagers,
but not in one. Nobody put them together as
no,
a list.
No. Somebody said, "Hey, this Kickstarter is cool. Check it out." Yeah. And maybe it was somebody that was on the Kickstarter team or
but
something.
But even so, like you gotta
and
hustle.
So I saw it and I was like, "Wow, this is cool."
I was involved in one of those once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Do you guys do Kickstarter for games much?
I have, right? I told you. Oh, yeah, one Kickstarter game. Only because I knew one of the developers. And now you said, you know, take those photos down. The only way I knew about that Kickstarter game is because I knew one of the developers. By chance, I met him. And I was friends with him through the entire process of him developing the game.
Did he disappear on you too?
No. He has a girlfriend now. I have a boyfriend now. It's okay. I love him and he knows I love him, but it's just kidding. It's not like that. Not like that. He would be my, I would call him my.
Apparently he was the pumping grounds.
Sorry, he's not. He needs to hear this episode, but no, it's but he was the graphic artist behind all.
I was so excited for the Stompy Land.
Did you play that game?
Yeah, I was excited for it, and then they just stopped working on it.
It went to shit. Yeah. Let me tell you what happened with the developer. Just kidding, I can't tell it on air, but it's hilarious. What, you know, they built the game.
Dollar bills, y'all.
What
happened.
And then
hookers and blow. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And then art came out, and everything's okay. You know.
Yeah. It basically art. It was a precursor to art. It was. Bobby, Kickstarter. Have you done much?
I've never used Kickstarter for anything.
Because this is against your early access mantra.
No, I'm unfamiliar with the whole process. It's not any reason of doubt or anything. You know, I look at this game, Pray for the Gods, and. It looks great, but I kind of worry about games that look a little too good because I feel like that's a lot to accomplish for a team.
And Bobby, you don't know what we're talking about. Like, we all throw back to Shadow of the Colossus. You don't even know what that is, yeah?
Oh, no, I know that game.
Oh, did you play it?
Or yeah, I played it.
Oh, okay.
I played it a little bit, but not all
and
that
And for
much.
Those who don't know, it's you know, there's no little monsters. It's only bosses, but each boss is almost like a level.
It's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a puzzle.
It's like Dark Souls without the bullshit, only in the boss fights.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So, and it's an amazing game.
Nice piece there, Chad.
Yep.
Moving
on. What else we got?
Warcraft movie.
Oh. So I think both Emilio and I watched Warcraft this week.
Yes, but you probably watched it in a theater.
I did watch it in a theater.
Yeah, and I torrented it.
I missed the first 5 minutes because my girlfriend likes to be late to stuff.
Yeah.
Fashionably late.
Well, she has to be fashionably late, yeah.
If she's listening, I'm sure it was my fault. But anyways.
It's always your fault. Remember that.
What were your thoughts? Amelia, you said you struggled through this.
I watched it in four parts, but that's just because I'd always started late at night. It's not a particular knock on the movie.
Okay, that's good. Because
I caught the feels a couple times. There was a couple times late in the movie where I was like, hey, this is kind of like serious stuff that they're talking about here. I thought the costume, I never really noticed this. Actually, it's the opposite. I always notice this, that robe or this or that looks fake. I thought the costume design was so one of the best I've ever seen.
Really?
I thought the armor the guys were wearing, the stuff, it was just like out of this world, and that's exactly what they needed.
Yeah,
it looked otherworldly. Like we couldn't sew those fabrics if we wanted to.
Did you feel like you didn't understand what the hate was about for this game, for this movie? Like, it wasn't a bad movie.
I don't think it was a bad movie.
Yeah, so why did it get such negative reviews?
I don't know. I really don't know. My biggest thing I would say is that it all seemed kind of fake together. The whole thing as an ensemble, it was like 2 CG, you know? It was just like so obviously fake.
Yeah, okay.
It was too fantastical. Somehow the Lord of the Rings made everything seem real.
Gotcha.
And this was just obviously
Over the top.
Yeah, over the top.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
The other thing that I would say is I also read the graphic novel prequel prior to watching the movie. And so I understood everything, but I could understand if you hadn't read the prequel.
Right.
That you're like, why is Medivh have fell and why is he struggling with this?
Now, in the game timeline, I was talking to Sam about this because she really enjoyed the movie, actually.
Nice.
But,
I was going to say, is it not a movie for casuals?
That's So I think the game starts like right after these sequences.
Which game?
Warcraft, the online game.
Oh, no.
I'm way off.
This is Warcraft 2, the Dark Portal. Okay. So Medivh opens the Dark Portal, and they all come out and all that stuff. That's all this stuff.
Right, but where does
MMO
come in?
You know when King Lane goes out and he like talks to his son and his wife and his son before he goes out to face him?
Yeah.
The son's name is Varian. And Varian,
see, I don't know. Any.
Varian is the king in World of Warcraft.
Okay.
So the boy grows up to be the king.
Okay.
And that's World of Warcraft. So this is all takes place during, I believe, Warcraft 2 or Warcraft 3 time, one of those two.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all before World of Warcraft.
And you can see that they're setting up sequels.
But they don't show they don't show any Tauren. They don't show any troll. They show very rare night elf / blood elf things. Yeah. So the two complaints I had is the battles didn't feel like epic. It felt like there was 200 people fighting.
Right.
And that wasn't really what I pictured. I pictured thousands.
Right.
You don't have a king and 100 guys. You have a king and 100,000 people, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is it felt like mages were the super rare thing, like Jedi. Like, there was only one or two of them that existed.
Right. But when you play the game, everybody can be a mage.
Exactly. They should have had... Their battle should have had mages throwing fireballs.
Somebody turning into a sheep was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. So, overall, I liked it. I want to see it again. I need to see the intro because, like I said, I missed the first 5 minutes. But overall, I really enjoyed it.
Dude, Orc Chick was hot.
That's a girl... The actress that plays her, she's been in a couple of stuff.
Okay, cool.
So, related to Warcraft, we have a bunch of Warcraft paraphernalia. We've got some toys. We've got some stuff.
A lot of toys, wallets. We have alliance wallets. We have fucking Horde wallets. We got a bunch of like little playset things.
Mugs.
A bunch of stuff. It all came from Legend Films, yeah?
Legendary, yeah.
Yeah, Legendary. So if you're really interested in this stuff, send us an email. And she's going to be giving some away on her stream.
Yeah.
And so we have a lot of this stuff. I mean, we have a good 8 pounds of it.
You're not
We're keeping the big one.
Yeah, you're not getting the 2 foot tall Duratan. That's I'm keeping that one. But everything else is being given away. So if you're interested, two ways to get this stuff. Email Emilio at DLGaming.
Emilio at DLGaming.net without the voice crack.
Yeah.
You don't have to, I don't know how you would spell Emilio.
There's like a tilde there or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just Emilio at DLGaming.net or watch Smoochie's stream
Twitch.tv/SMOOXCHI. Lately, I've been doing a giveaway each stream. So since I haven't been streaming as consistently, but at least once, maybe twice a week.
Yeah, you did Refunct last week.
Yeah,
right?
I've been all the games we've been talking about. I've been playing them and then giving them away right after I beat them. So I gave away Gone Home, and I also gave away Refunct. And then next stream, which should be Wednesday evening, around 6:00 p.m., I will be giving away
that Pacific Standard Time.
You want to get into Refunct and what you thought of it?
Refunct was fun. It was cute. Yeah. It allowed me to just talk nonstop, interact with my viewers, and then and
were you able to hear the music? I thought the music
was very calming, peaceful. It was awesome. It was a very short game, but the ending was definitely worth it. So I liked it.
Yep. Cool.
There's not much to say because it's a super short game. So
And it's the person that I gave it away to, he actually played it, uploaded the playthrough on YouTube, and definitely appreciated the free game.
Nice.
That's awesome. Let's have Bobby talk some because we haven't heard him in about 15 minutes.
I assume some of these the first things on this were
Soma. I'm hoping is him. Did you play Soma?
This is the time I'm gonna have a conversation with Bobby.
This is where I check out.
Okay.
I gotta go pee.
Bobby, talk to us about Soma.
I've only gotten 2 hours into Soma.
Oh man, I thought you beat it.
No,
I
not
would
yet.
Have loved to talk about Soma. Like
you've already beat it,
back end. Once I picked up this game, I could not drop it. I think it only took me less than 48 hours to make it from beginning to end. Hands down, one of my most favorite playthroughs in probably the past 5 years of any video.
Wow.
So how about you, Bobby? Tell me what you think so far.
Yeah, it really hooked me. It draws you in. I wasn't sure what to expect from it. From the looks of it and from what I've heard other people say, I've heard that it... I think, Chad, you talked about it many episodes ago when it came out, about a year ago. I was expecting something kind of like maybe Outlast. I didn't know really, but how would you describe it? It's a little more of a walking simulator than I had anticipated. It's kind of a scary game, but it's very subtle with the horror and it's almost more sci-fi. And I've just gotten to the point where I'm starting to understand what the game's about. And I don't want to really tell too much about it because that would spoil it. Even discovering what the game's about, that initial hook that you hit maybe about an hour and a half into it is really cool. But it kind of deals with, you know, what is it to be human and that kind of Philip K. Dick shit. So it's very cool. And I heard some other people talking about this. Apparently there's some mod support for it and you can play this without the, I guess they call them monsters in the game. So it is truly just a walking simulator.
So it takes out the horror element and the actual.
So it just plays the story
challenge.
Basically.
Yeah, it takes out, I wouldn't even say the horror element because that's still kind of there still, but it takes out, you know, having to sneak past the monsters, and it takes out any sort of challenge, even though the game really isn't all that challenging. I guess it could be called a puzzle game, but I haven't found it to be too puzzling.
Sounds kind of like a stealth.
No, well, Alien Isolation, they pulled out the alien, and that one of the first mods took the alien out of Alien Isolation.
Yeah, well, that kind of ruins the game a bit.
Okay, but this less so?
This one, I could understand you wanting to take out the monsters so you could just kind of go through it and get the story, because it is actually a very interesting story.
What I can say about the storytelling, and Emilio dropped this earlier, he said the feels. There is no other game that I've played that had as many feels as Soma, even the ending, especially the ending. I'm not going to spoil anything about that and the twists and the turns you encounter, but it's definitely a story-driven game. And like you said, it's not very challenging, and there's some horror elements, but not as much. But it's one of the few games where, you know how you come across documents and voice recordings, mm-hmm. and half of that stuff you just skip through, or you're uninterested in, or you're just like...
Not me, but Amelia does that.
Yeah, this is back history. This is fluff. Why do I need to waste the extra minute reading this? Yeah. Soma is the one game where I read... and listen to everything. I did not let anything fly by my radar. It's just one of those fully, I need to immerse myself games. How do you feel about like the pace of the game so far in regards to that and the things you're encountering?
So far, it's very good. I'm already starting to hypothesize on what I think the ending is about. I'm sure there's going to be some twists and turns, but I think I have an idea of where it's going with this, and I'm very pleased with it. The only thing that worries me about sometimes games like this is that they get not so much a game like this, but I guess other games, the story gets so convoluted at some point it's hard to even tell like what it
Japanese
was
games.
Yeah, well, not even just like flat out confusing. It's just like I played through games and then I went to the Wikipedia page and read the story and I was like, oh, that's what happened. I totally didn't get any of that.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about like the Dark Souls series. Yeah. It's like, I know there's a story, but I don't get it.
Yeah,
you have to like do research. To
Are there any movies that you guys have had to show look up what it meant? And then
for sure,
and then Phantom there's Menace.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
Phantom Menace?
Phantom Menace. That's a classic example. I mean, you got so much shit going on, and it's like kind of this weird political story going on at the same time. Yeah.
What's that one remake of the Phantom Menace that...
The Phantom Remake or the Phantom... It's 1.5 without Jar Jar Binks, right?
Well, it's without a bunch of stuff. Anyways.
Well, I'd say even Attack of the Clones is even more convoluted than that. And that's a perfect example of what I'm trying to talk about here. I mean, there are games where it's like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about with this story. And maybe that's because you didn't get the dialogue, or you skipped the dialogue, or you didn't pick up the voice recordings, or you just weren't paying attention. But there are some games and or even movies like Attack of the Clones where there's just so much shit being thrown at you. And a game on top of that, you are thinking in mechanics and puzzles and trying to like actually do the game part of it. And that distracts you from the story. Mm-hmm. So trying to do both at the same time, I mean, I think a lot of people forget about that when they develop a game. Like you have to make, you know, you have to take into account that the story is going to be outweighed at times by the game itself.
So are you saying in a case like Soma, you actually appreciate that it's kind of gameplay light? Because yeah, it lets exactly. you appreciate the story yeah. more.
And I think that's the right choice in a situation like this.
Firewatch was the same way, right?
Where yeah, basically absolutely. There's no gameplay yeah. in Firewatch.
And people call them walking simulators,
story.
Which I think is a little diminishing. I don't like that term as much.
I agree.
Yeah. Soma was actually made by...
Gee, you should play Firewatch.
What was the company that Soma... Didn't they do Outlast or another one of the... I think Soma we originally brought up because it was a company that you had liked, Bobby.
Was it?
I believe so, but I'm not 100% sure.
We'll check here.
We're going to give a little look-see.
They do a thing in this, and this is at the very beginning of the game, so it's not a spoiler, but they do a thing that a lot of games will do, and especially story-driven games like
84
this.
84 out of 100 is fucking...
Yeah, Amnesia. That's the one killer. That they did. They did Amnesia Dark Descent. Amnesia.
Okay, and that makes perfect sense. But they do a thing with the character where... you as the player are going into a game where you know nothing about it, and then things are revealed to you. And so a lot of times what they'll do in a game like this that is heavy on story is they'll put the player or put the character in the same position. So you play a guy who goes in for some medical shit. Next thing you know, you're waking up in a strange land and you know absolutely nothing. Why you don't know why you're there or
what the world is.
Yeah. Or what's,
but you have a you way bigger anything. Cock. You're starting so from, you're like,
you're starting
I wonder
from
what
zero.
I went in for.
So a lot of times they do that in games to allow you as the player to, you as the person playing the game and you as the player in the game to discover everything at the same time. Like in storytelling, they call it like a limited perspective. You yep. don't know what's going on.
It's a trope that's used it all the time, but it works for interactive stories.
Yeah, it's really the only way to do that. I mean, yeah. It works well, but you know, I just thought I'd point it out. So it's something
The Witness does that also, where like the character and you both just start there, mm-hmm. and you have no idea.
Should Soma be our June August game?
If you get, I mean,
how long is this game?
I think it's. I looked it up on how long to beat, and it was like 9 hours, 10 hours for the completionist.
It's long for us.
Yeah, a little on the long side.
But it's cool. So worth it, guys. Mm. It's one of the games, like I said, for me, it's a staple of my own.
Why do you guys always want to play creepy games, scary games?
It's not really.
Chad couldn't get through Gone Home, guys. What level?
It's scary. Okay, no, I'm sorry. Spoilers. I don't think you heard that because that was a spoiler.
I'm a little scared.
We'll talk more about that very soon.
Well, that is another concern I have about Soma being 2.5 hours into this game. When I looked it up and I saw, okay, this game is 9 hours long, I'm worried that the story is going to be stretched a little thin and that they're going to have me on fetch quest the whole time.
They will catch you off guard. All right,
I'm glad to hear that.
you will shit your pants and jizz at the same time. It's not good.
God, that sounds hot.
Wow.
I think they have a name for that.
It's like immediately I was like, I've been there.
Yeah. So are we moving on?
Yeah.
Yeah, keeping with the underwater theme, I've also been playing Subnautica, which is underwater as well, but in a completely different way. This is that open world game where it's only single player. But you build aquatic bases.
He says with such disdain.
Yeah. Well, the developers were on the PC Gamer podcast, and they had a great interview with them, and they talked about some really key points that I thought were important about this. Number one, they don't have any plan on doing multiplayer. A lot of people have asked for that. But the guy basically said, and I feel a lot of developers say stuff like this, the guy said that if they were to do multiplayer, if they were to put it in at this point in development, they would have to stop what they're doing and work on it for a full year, which means no updates, no additions to the game, no bug fixes, nothing else but working on multiplayer, and then they would have some form of multiplayer in there. And the only game that I know that has done this is The Forest. Started out single player, eventually they added multiplayer later. Stardew Valley is going to do the same thing. But when they threw multiplayer in The Forest, like, it was janky as shit. Like,
Nuclear Throne.
Oh, Nuclear Throne?
Yeah, they brought that up too. Started off single player, and a modder brought it to multiplayer, and it was laggy. And next week, he made it not laggy. Hmm. Like, he did all the netcode.
Really?
I feel like that would be a lot easier in a game like Nuclear Throne.
Yeah, you would think so.
Those 3D
I never enjoyed that
games.
Game, by the way.
Since I've worked on the development side of video games, it's crazy how much work the online portion of a game is.
I know this is hard to say, but okay. So you have the development, you have the programming, you got everything. Okay, let's take away everything but the multiplayer, but then you add multiplayer. What percentage is everything versus online?
I would say it's an additional 50%.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. The amount of bugs you can find, the amount of work that goes in, the amount of programmers you need to hire, the specialized programmers you need to hire. It is insane how much, like,
and the cost just skyrockets.
I know gamers always want multiplayer added, and they've added multiplayer to games that they shouldn't have.
Elder Scrolls?
Like, I've worked on games, and then the game comes out, and there's like 100 people on the online part of it, and you're like, how many thousands of dollars were spent so these 100 people could play the online portion of it? Mm-hmm. It's just, I would say 9 times out of 10, you're better off not doing multiplayer, because you'd have a much better, much cleaner product because you've spent so
much
money.
Unless it was a multiplayer driven.
Exactly.
Game.
Yeah. But in that case, they shouldn't be doing single player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times.
And in that, I was going to bring up the same thing, that Battlefield. Oh, is it Battlefield that always has a single player? No, it's the other one.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty always has a single player.
Single player.
But it's usually Battlefield has the, like, just tacked on single player where it's kind of a couple missions or whatever.
Yeah, it's like 5 hours long.
Yeah.
Of course, Call of Duty, not the newer ones, but some of the Call of Duties have been 5 or 6 hours. But yeah, that was one thing that they had brought up, the topic of multiplayer. They also said a lot of people requested that they choose their gender in the game, and they said they had no plans on doing that. They also, what was the other thing that people would ask for? Oh, they asked if there was ever going to be a part where they could actually get on land and build on land. They said, no, the idea of the game is to go deeper. And I'm starting to notice that as I've been playing the game. This is now my new Stardew Valley. This is a game I have up in a window while I'm waiting for Heroes of the Storm cues to pop, and I just need something to do.
Oh, so now, Bobby, like, do you want to play this in VR?
This would be a cool VR game.
I think it's accessible in VR now.
Yeah, it works in VR. This would be a great VR game because
you need to buy VR
exploration. I'm thinking about it. I'm giving it some serious thought.
Because I bought Audio Shield, which looks fucking awesome, and I never got to play it once.
Oh, yeah. Audio Shield. I saw a list. It was
supposed to be
one of the top five for VR.
Is that the Audio Surf of VR? Because I would love that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Sort of, yeah.
We're pretty close.
Yeah. You're blocking the beats, not riding.
Okay, so Subnautica, have you created your platform and everything? You got your whole setup in your base.
I got a few bases going on, and it is all about getting deeper, because the further down I dive, like, the less oxygen I have, and the more exciting stuff is down there. So that's really how you progress. You get the better materials, you build a better thing. So it's all about going deeper and deeper into the ocean, and it gets pretty scary too, because one time I finally went over by the crash ship. I'm just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna run over the crash ship and we'll see what
because
happens.
It's got radiation
right?
That's going on there.
But I got a radiation suit. But there's some giant fish out there, and this big-ass one just, came right up at me. And if it had been VR, I probably would have shit my pants. But even without VR...
What's the purpose of... What's your mission in the game?
There really isn't much of a mission. I mean, you're just...
it's kind of Minecraft-ish.
Yeah, it's kind of Minecraft. You just build a base, and you dig around, and you find things, and you explore. And now, what I really like that they've done in here is they have a few different modes. I think there's actually four of them. The two that I noticed was, your normal mode, and then there's a casual mode, I think they call it freedom, where you don't have to worry about hunger and thirst. So I was like, okay, that's perfect. I don't want to really do that anyway. And the thing that I like about this in regards to it being the filler game between Heroes of the Storm is that unlike Stardew Valley, it is something that I can play, pause, and at any time just save and quit. Stardew Valley is a game that works on turns. So, you go through a day and a day-night cycle.
You want to make sure that you're done before you click that next. Yeah.
And that could be good because it keeps you hooked. You're like, okay, just one more day. Well, I started the day. Now I got to finish it. It's got that Civ 5 mentality, too, where you keep going one after the other. But there is a day-night cycle in Subnautica, and at night things get even more creepy. You got to build flashlights and stuff. But graphically, the game looks pretty good. I mean, it is still early access, so there's a few bugs and stuff, but it looks decent, and I love the whole
quality. For those who don't know, and for Chi who doesn't know, it's kind of like all you have is this escape pod that you there's your ship exploded, right? And you're on this aquatic planet.
Your ship crashed. It didn't explode. Like, there's the well, ship is
what
there.
What is the story? Because there, I...
That's pretty much
there's
it.
There's no story...
But our homie's writing that story, actually.
I thought they already had part of that.
What's his name, Chad?
I'm drawing a blank.
Come on, Chad.
I'm drawing a blank.
So, this really good story writer...
Mm-hmm. He did, what was it? What was the one where you play as the robot or whatever?
You played it.
Started with an S, Sweeper, Swapper.
No. Oh.
Well, he did Swapper.
Swapper, but what was the other one?
FTL?
No.
He did that also. Yeah, but what was the first-person puzzle one?
Talos Principle.
Principle.
Damn, you're a fucking machine. Yeah.
That's what happens when you don't drink.
Yeah.
You get to remember shit and stuff.
So, Talos Principle, FTL.
Swapper.
Swapper. All great games.
Yeah.
He wrote the stories for all of them.
All of them.
We had him on the podcast. And
not to toot our own horn, but we're pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're pretty awesome. And we talked about him. He's writing the story for this. Even though it doesn't have a story yet, he's doing that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I think a story would really benefit this game. But I almost kind of like how there isn't a story and you kind of make up your own. You see a crash ship and the submarine and you're just like, what happened here? And you're just kind of like, that air of mystery kind of keeps you intrigued. I feel like they should really play that angle on the story. Like,
Bobby,
not give too much away.
Maybe you can let me know what I built, because I didn't know what I built. I built this raft that had drones. There was four drones.
Yeah, you can build a, like, I think I built that too, a raft, and then you use that raft and you climb up on top of it, and then from there you can build other things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's, I haven't used
it. So it's basically a platform for you to build other things.
Yeah. I think it was Tom Joubert. I think that was his
name. Tom Joubert, yeah.
Yep, that's
right?
It.
I mean, Tom Joubert, like my, that's my dog right there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Tom Joubert. Yep.
I think so. Here's my thing with games like this and Minecraft and everything else. I understand how you want to just play and keep playing, but I wish they would wrap it in a story, and then the story could end and you could just keep playing after the story ended. You know what I mean?
Would you, though?
Well, I wouldn't, but people that in, you know, the people play other styles than
I totally
I like
see what
to
you're getting at.
You know
that's
what
right.
I mean?
And that fan fiction's
like,
coming,
I don't
right?
want to play.
No, just kidding.
And literotica.
Yeah. Why we got to keep bringing this up?
True or not? True or not?
I have frequented that site before.
That's okay. An actual.
Did you site? Not submit something?
I do have an. I do have an article on that site.
And can do we
no
want to?
No way.
No.
I actually read a fan fiction that was very successful.
Really?
Yeah. Wait. What is this one?
For Final Fantasy X2.
Wow.
It was a Riku X Gipal. Gipal. Like story, and I read it when I was in.
Where'd you
high
submit
school.
It?
Fanfiction.net.
Nice.
It had at the time it had top top three reviews.
Nice.
You know, it doesn't show you how many. It might at this point show you how many reads, but people write feedback and reviews when they want more.
Well,
or when they want
to comment. You'll have to send us a link so we can read your fanfiction.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I'll dig it up and see what you guys think about it.
But to get back on topic here, a game like Subnautica or Minecraft or whatever, I don't have any interest. I don't have that much interest playing because I always say, what's the point of playing the game? Like, I want to have a goal that I reach for. And I know not everybody's like that, and maybe I'm the minority, and maybe I'm one of, maybe I'm only 10% of their audience. But I don't have an interest in playing this because it doesn't have a. I want to get to the end of the story.
Yeah.
And I understand that other people just want to play and have an open world that they can explore. But I lose interest because it doesn't have a goal. It doesn't have a story.
It's almost like I brought up this picture here from one of their updates, the PowerNap update. And I'm looking at the interior of one of those space bases. And it kind of looks like what I got going on in mind. It's like building a little home. And it's like living in a virtual spot. And it's that kind of thing that draws me into it. He's got the fish tank just like me. But it's a lot like The Sims. It's like it's this virtual world to live in, almost. And that's the appeal to it. And I didn't really understand that until Stardew Valley. That was my first foray into that type of game. And I still don't get Minecraft. But this game, I do enjoy it for that reason. But the only thing I can compare it to is the Sims.
Yeah, speaking of The Sims, I actually was playing that all this week. I did not stream myself playing The Sims. And the reason why is because I am actually getting my dirty casual boyfriend into video gaming.
Nice.
And I made him make his own sim. And
so as a casual, the Sims were the way you were trying to connect
it's
him.
It's really opposite. It's a female getting her male boyfriend into video gaming.
Okay,
and what's
fair enough.
A game that males normally get their female girlfriends
the
into
Sims.
Gaming? The Sims. It's so
good. Which Sims is this, by the way?
It's The Sims 4. Right now it's like 50% off.
Is that the most recent one, or was there a Sims 5?
The most recent one.
Okay.
And they have a shit ton of expansions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It really
Pets
feels like a money grab,
stuff,
of course.
Yeah.
So I only bought the original game, which is $29.99 right now. It says it's 50% off, but I honestly think at this time now it is just a $30 game.
Is it on Origin or is it Steam?
It's on Origin.
Origin, okay.
It's on Origin only, and the most recent Sims game you can get on Steam is The Sims 2, I believe,
did
or
you,
The Sims 3.
Just off topic, but did you ever play The Sims MMO Sims? What was that one?
Oh, I've played all the single-player Sims, like all the ones with numeric value, but I've never played The Sims Online.
The Sims Online, that's what it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I was too busy playing.
So what did he think about it?
In that time. Oh, The Sims 4 is great. It's
no, what did he think about it?
What did he think about it?
Yeah.
For somebody that's never played The Sims before, honestly, never once. We were up until 4 or 5 a.m. just trying to figure out how to put a roof on the fucking house. I am absolutely livid because in The Sims, you, of course, you spend most of your time in character creation and building your home.
Naturally.
But with this one, this is the first Sims game that didn't have an auto roof function. Every other Sims,
did you guys have your pants on or off when all this was going down?
It depends.
They might have been distracted, is what you're saying. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, why it might have taken hours.
Yeah.
We were up till 7 a.m. about 37 minutes of that was Sims playing.
Yep.
Yep. No, but it's pretty great. So far, it's been about our third time turning the game on and playing it together, and we've only gotten as far as making our bathrooms. We finally figured out the roofing tool, and then we finally decorated and made our bathrooms. It's so funny how we have... No, it's...
I know.
It sounds so
I have absolutely no interest.
No.
I'm so glad I never played this.
Yes.
Come on. Like, you know, we're Sam. Get her out here.
What happened to this episode? We played... We talked Pokemon Go and The Sims.
When... We should have a
We're turning into bitches.
Wait, time out.
We're turning into bitches.
Girl-on-girl interview. Can I interview Sam?
Sure.
Can I interview the gamer girlfriend?
When she starts playing some video games, you can interview her.
She is playing video games.
So, honest question, did your boyfriend torture his Sims? Because that's what I would do.
We haven't
I'd cut off all the doors and have no bathrooms and watch them just shit on the floor.
We haven't even yet played the game. We're still in the building level.
Oh, my God.
Element of it.
In the morning.
I did... Yeah, and then I did. I actually took a screenshot of it where the first thing I did during live mode was make him use the toilet, and I bought this gnome that was naked, and I put it right in front of him while he was using the toilet, like at crotch level. And
you're talking my language.
He's smiling at the gnome, and this gnome is smiling at him.
Wait, I've read this fan fiction before. I know how this ends.
This is the one he's admitted, actually.
Yeah. But no, it's funny because the funny thing is that when we are building our homes, we bought a lot together, but we build two separate homes on the lot, and we're just neighbors in the game.
Hmm.
Just like...
Are you guys playing on one PC or two?
PC.
Oh, you guys are sharing
PC. We'll be sharing this. When you share a lot, you actually control both people.
Okay.
But it's funny because we have our both individual homes right next to each other on the same lot.
And they're playing on one chair that they both sit on, if you
know. Yeah, it's weird.
If you know what I'm talking about. Right.
It's a...
All right, so...
Moving on.
Okay, cool. Broforce, real quick, they had an update. They say they can't stop making bros. Bobby, you're going to be the one. I'm going to say the name of the bro, and you're going to say the real name of that inspired the bro. The first one is super easy, Bro Lee.
That's tough.
Let's see.
Think about that one.
So everybody knows Bruce Lee.
Sting yep. Like a,
now,
wait.
Tank Bro.
Tank Girl?
Nice.
Yeah, nice. So they added Girl Bros.
Another girl, bro. Yeah.
What's Tank Girl? I'm a girl. I don't know. Tank Girl.
Sam said the same thing. Is it a stupid movie?
Yeah.
Well, it was originally a comic book, right?
Yeah.
And then it became a movie.
Yeah. So her special is she summons a tank and she gets in it and you're invincible until the tank disappears.
That's cool.
Yeah. Bro Lee, obviously, is Bruce Lee. He's a melee class.
Yeah.
And he has he's very akin to
Blade.
No, the other one, the Brode, which is the bride.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so she has the five finger death punch.
Yep,
he does the same, very similar. And the last one is, this is the one I had to look it up.
It's Dirty Harry, right?
Oh, you motherfucker!
It's not Dirty Harry.
Bro, Dirty Broner.
You got to let the bit play out, Chad. Yeah. Come on, we haven't even.
You know
seen
how a bit works, Chad. And this is robot. I don't know what.
It's Dirty Brony. Like, well, what else could it be?
The people listening, when you just shout out Dirty Harry, the people who are listening are just like a little confused.
Fuck.
You're putting one foot
like,
in front of the
Dirty
other.
Harry? Yeah. I don't understand.
You're putting the cart before the horse here.
Yeah.
So Dirty Brony.
Dirty Harry.
Dirty Brony. What's Dirty Brony?
I know. Well, first of all, when I was playing the game, it doesn't say Dirty Brony, so.
What does it say?
I don't know. So I had to look it up, and then I was like, oh, it's Dirty Harry, yeah. Dirty Harry is
Clint Eastwood
being super racist in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
It's all he would shoot 70s. Is black dudes. It was crazy.
Wow. No, he had a black partner in Magnum Force. He didn't last long, but it was, you know, they had
we're not talking about...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's the line that says, do you feel lucky, punk?
Yeah, that's where that comes from.
That's Dirty Harry.
Lucky punk. I get it.
Did I shoot 5 or 6 rounds? Do you feel lucky, punk?
The question you got to ask yourself is, do you feel lucky,
punk? This is
punk?
A 45 Magnum. It's the largest handgun made in the world. Yeah, that's a great scene.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, so
and
what else?
He shoots the black guy.
What else?
Actually, that was a white guy in that one.
Yes, it was. Correct. And I've never actually seen that movie.
Bobby,
so I'm just
Games Done Quick. That's all you. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, Games Done Quick is something. I think I brought this up last year on the podcast, but this year I got like full into it. I watched so much of this. It is a yearly stream that comes out of Minnesota where they raise funds for Doctors Without Borders. They raised over $1.3 million this time around. Just incredible.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
And all that money goes completely to Doctors Without Borders. They take nothing out of it. So that goes directly to them. But they do it by speed runs. They bring in all these speed runners and they say, okay, if you donate, donate and we're going to do speed runs, but if you donate, you get a choice on which ones you want to do. So we got a guy over here who can do Skyrim, you know, you pick, you can pick what, character he does and how they do it.
How long does Skyrim take, dude?
The Skyrim speed run was around 48 minutes.
No way.
What the fuck?
Well, they use glitches in these.
Right.
And that one was pretty intense.
But still, how would he level up enough to kill...
Oh,
no,
dude, you should see it. It's incredible. It's incredible to watch these guys work.
I didn't even make my character in 48 minutes. What are you talking about?
All these speedrunners have their own channels, and like you can look up their YouTube videos, but this is just like a huge extravaganza. All the speedrunners in one spot just doing it, and they'll have races, too. So one of my favorite parts was the Super Metroid race, where they had 4 speedrunners, and all of them playing Super Metroid, one in each corner of the screen. They all win at the same time, which is a very difficult game to not die at all. And only one of them made it to the end. He got it done in about 46 minutes. One guy got to the last boss and died. He would have even beat that time. But they always talk, there's all this terminology that goes on with speed runs too. And I was picking up that slowly as it went on. PB stands for personal best, you know, things like that, little acronyms.
Right.
Also, there's a bit of a meme, save the animals or kill the animals. They use it throughout all the different speed runs. Or when people donate.
And animals being NPCs?
No, that comes from actually Super Metroid, where at the end of the game, you can... at the end of Super Metroid, the ship blows up and you have to escape.
Spoilers.
Well, yeah.
20 years ago.
22-year-old game.
Right. Yeah. Spoilers.
I got that game in fourth for my birthday in fourth grade. Played the shit out of it. Loved that game.
That was the first-person Metroid, right?
No. That was Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime.
Yeah, Super Metroid was 2D.
Get shit together, Chad.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't get into the Metroid thing. My bad.
But Metroid and Super Metroid were the only ones that I played. But Super Metroid, at the end of the game, when the ship's exploding, you can spend a little extra time to go save the animals that helped you throughout the game, I think. And it takes a little bit more time. So in a speedrun, obviously, you don't want to do that. But it's kind of become a meme amongst the people in the scene. But the most impressive one I saw, they did blocks, too. So it's like, today we're doing Legend of Zelda. Today we're doing Super Mario. They had a Bethesda block where they did Skyrim, which was incredible to watch. After the guy was done with it, he's like, okay, now let me show you a few glitches. And he loaded up some staves, and he's like, if you do this and that, then this weird shit happens. It was kind of cool. It was just showing shit off. They did
Bobby, can you quickly run down how somebody would beat? Like, I'm flabbergasted. How would they beat it?
He's literally the most incredible thing he's ever
did
heard
he
all
glitch
year.
Killing the last guy?
The last guy, no. The last guy he actually died to and had to load a save there, but he was saying... he was saying like, oh, this is RNG. The chances of this happen are like super rare, but it just happened to happen here. You just stand right here and you hit right here. And then he goes down in a few, like after so many hits. So like they've memorized, this is like information out there that people look up. And then occasionally people will find like this new thing that will shave off 30 seconds. And like the person who finds it will like name it too, or it's named after them. So like, okay, we're going to pull the halfer right here. And then we're going to do this. And it's like, it's crazy to watch these people work.
The digi deficit.
Yeah. Okay, that could be a name.
The flopsy fluctuation.
Yeah,
we should do our own.
The Emilio equation.
Speed run.
Doesn't have to be an alliterated.
I know. Just try to like get through a game.
We need a game that has 4 people required.
The DL gaming.
The cheap.
Run.
the cheapy cheese. I don't know.
I don't know if we could speed run
the cheesy
game.
Part right
well,
here.
We don't have to be good at it, but we could attempt.
No, you have to be super good to speed run these games. I couldn't believe the most amazing one to me, like just skill wise, was Deus Ex. The guy beat it in around 45 minutes, I think, and he was just doing the craziest. Shit, that's an older game too, but
a lot more glitches. Things. Yeah,
when you throw down lambs in that game, they rotate, and if you throw down a lamb and then stand on it, then you rotate with it, and it's a way to get behind locked doors. So he would just do that, but you have to stand just in the right spot. And then he started one level, and he's like, "Okay, you just shoot the mountain right here, bat, 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 bat." He's shooting it with a machine gun. All of a sudden, boom! He's at the end of the level. It's just like, yeah, it's a weird glitch. But this guy was like very entertaining, and he said the F word a few times, which you're not supposed to do on stream, and it was kind of entertaining to see the reaction to that.
What's the F word?
That would be fuck.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, just to clarify. Also, Fallout 3 during the...
Go away, sponsors. We don't want you.
Yeah, fuck those sponsors, right?
Fuck sponsors. Yeah. Sponsorship.
Yeah. I don't think sponsors have a problem with that, but the Fallout 3 run was really good, too. He did that in about an hour 12, and they tell you when you're watching it, estimated time. So estimated time was an hour 12. I think he beat that one, but overall, it was just an incredible event. Some of the lackluster ones were like, what was the game with the bike, Turbo something?
The bike?
Oh, it's like a motorbike, a motocross bike. It's a physics game where you...
That's
like
Excitebike.
No, it's like Excitebike, but Chad, I know you played it.
It's
a Ubisoft game.
Yeah, Turbo, that one.
Not Dismount, but...
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. But
no idea.
Someone was doing that, I'm like, fuck, this is kind of boring, but... they did, like, all sorts of games. Shantae, The Pirate's whatever.
The Pirate's Curse.
The Pirate's Curse. Yeah,
boom.
They did that
game.
They did a whole Mega Man block, Jack and Daxter. Like, this went on for days, and I just watched...
Can you watch videos? Can you watch the VODs of this?
They've got to be out there, yeah.
Okay.
But watching this, especially the Super Nintendo games, really got me wanting to play those old games. So I was looking. I was like, I'm finally going to pull the trigger on a Bluetooth controller for my phone, because I have the SNES emulator on there, and occasionally I do play that. And I found this one, which I thought was incredible. It's called the 8-Bit-Do Extender SFC30. It's from GameInStock.com, and it's basically a Super Nintendo controller. Like, that looks like a legit, realistic Super
Nintendo
controller.
The whole podcast
controller.
We all orgasmed.
Yeah, that's... maybe not Chi. Maybe Chi's a little too young.
I've spoken a little... please. I just spoke in a different language for that thing.
Yeah.
And I was told I grew up with the SNES.
Okay.
Yeah. I had cartridges stacked higher than me.
Like, that's got to be remanufactured, but that looks like an original SNES controller.
Yeah,
it's
that's
got a
incredible.
Bluetooth chip inside it and a clip that just hooks your phone to it, so you can play Super Nintendo games there. And you can...
How much is this running?
You bought this yet, Bobby?
Yeah, it's in the mail. $10 for this.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
it's good luck bought. With that, dude.
It's bought. I didn't even know it.
You just bought a picture online, dude. Good luck with that.
This is what I don't understand. If you look at the site under iOS Android controllers, they have other ones here. They have one for $28.99 that looks like the exact same thing but without a clip. So I'm a little confused by that. But they have ones in the shape of the old Nintendo
you
controller.
Bought a picture, dude. I'm telling you.
No, hey, dude, five out of five stars on the reviews. Everyone's saying, yep, best shit ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll
on
see.
Their own site. Five out of five stars on their own site.
I think you got a steal here.
Yeah.
Bobby,
we'll see.
I'm gonna
get back to you next week.
Okay, then I'm out $10 bucks. All right, call the cops.
Remember that whole episode a couple weeks ago where he explained how he's rich?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I figure, hey, $10, why not? I'll check it out. But I'm excited to get that. I want to play some Legend of Zelda and definitely some Super Metroid, because I have some very fond memories of that.
I find it interesting that you went with the Super Nintendo controller, not the Nintendo or the GameCube
I never played the GameCube. All the emulators I play are Super Nintendo games. So,
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I guess I could have gone with the Sega one. I didn't see a Sega one
on there. Super Nintendo was extremely impressive, because is that the first controller to introduce the R and L buttons?
Yep.
Yeah, the trigger buttons.
Then, yes.
Yeah.
We went from literally two buttons to six buttons, right?
Yeah. Two to six?
That was the leap.
Sega Genesis had the 3-on-3 and...
No, it went to... Sega Genesis had three, and then you could get the controller for the...
Yeah, they had the XYZ.
Yeah, but specifically for Street Fighter, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It used with other games, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Gee, what happened on Overwatch this week?
Well, this is awesome because I wanted to give my first impression.
Are you peeing again?
Playing. I wanted to do my first impression.
Number four. Sorry,
I've been doing my first. I want to do my first impressions of playing multiplayer with Bobby.
Because with Bobby?
No, not Bobby. Chad. Sorry, Bobby was talking. So
okay.
So my first impressions multiplayer with Chad.
Okay.
We played Overwatch together. I was streaming Overwatch all night, and I think Chad was the only one that was on my Steam account that wasn't AFK. And I was like, Chad, let's play Overwatch. And you're like, yeah, okay,
I'll jump on.
So let's do it. So we jump on Discord. We play Overwatch. It's awesome that you mentioned, you know, all of our BattleNets are on Steam group because
we played with one of your watchers.
Yeah, we
also
played with one of my viewers, and I would love to play with more viewers. I remember playing Overwatch with Chad, and I think we lost all but one game.
Yep, we went 1-4.
And the way we won was absolutely amazing. I actually highlighted how we won. I carried that game so hard.
I did not.
With my McCree. But
was this ranked,
Chad? Here's the thing, Chad.
I'm still not 25 yet.
Oh, okay.
Even better. I have never played multiplayer with Chad before, but I did for the first time. And I know how He did not rage quit, but he would not stop apologizing.
I hadn't played Overwatch in like a week.
He took the blame for everything.
I mean, it's probably true.
I forgot to switch my stance over on Lucio at one point, so I'm doing the speed stance.
So we're just
all dying.
Were you
shooting things? My bad, guys. I'm supposed to be healing here, and I'm not. Don't worry about it. I was also on stream, so I wasn't rage quitting because I was on my best behavior.
He was trying to not swear. I'm like, no, this is I don't have enough. Like, all my viewers are cussing in chat. I'm cussing. Hey. And it was just it was a lot of fun, and I wish all of us could all get in one Overwatch game and play together.
I know,
fact,
we need to probably do it tonight.
We should do, because we almost have a team here. We should do.
But we already learned last
casters
week.
Casters versus listeners.
We already learned last week.
Casters versus listeners.
We're three tanks and a healer. So.
We'll beat those silly listeners.
I could definitely play a good defense. I am exceedingly good at playing the defense characters.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Or support.
Can anybody beat my one on one?
Maze Bay?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Computer, just the guy with the
anybody with range. McCree.
Yeah,
anybody with range can beat her.
But not
you know what
in
I love
like
to
a
do
tussle.
On May when she ice blocks. I know the timing just right, so when she comes out of it, I hit her with Reinhardt's dash. Kerplow gets
her. I've
every
done
time.
That before.
Kerplow.
Hold on, here we go. And boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Now, what was my highlight that we did? I actually backdoor a victory.
Oh, so
it was awesome.
Every time I go backdoor, I
backdoor. What's the stage that you finish up?
It was like
you kind of climb up. You do the payload back and forth up this kind of switchback, and then the end is right there. What stage
it's Dorado,
is that?
Oh,
I believe
El Dorado. Yeah.
Okay. Dorado. We are getting spanked. We got to the last checkpoint and we can't move the thing, and we are just getting trucked. It's slowly working its way back, and we're just getting owned again and again and again. And there is literally less than a minute left, and she literally goes around and starts moving the payload.
McCree,
but. Since they're trucking us, they're at our front door.
Oh yeah,
they're just killing us. And but
almost fresh out of spawn.
They completely ignore the fact everybody can see the payload moving, but they must not notice or something. Or nobody wants to go back.
Pushed it from the checkpoint all the way to the victory
within the last minute.
Yeah, and nobody even noticed. And I said, guys, don't kill anyone because if you kill someone, they're going to respawn.
Nice.
And
did you listen?
Doing.
Well, we didn't kill anybody, but that wasn't on purpose.
That's my team, guys. That's my fucking team. I'm like, guys, I'm going to take this whole minute to push the payload.
That was our one win.
And they managed to not kill
anyone. That was our
one
win for the night.
They managed to not kill anyone so I could win the game.
Gee, now you know what it is to deal with what I deal with.
No.
Every day. in, day out, and not just playing video games. Rent, fucking termite inspections, fucking.
She had me on my best.
Why are the lights off, Chad? God damn it! It wasn't my fault.
Again, I would say playing multiplayer with Chad, entertainment wise, and just overall enjoyment, 8 out of 10.
I'm a good guy.
Do it again.
8.2 out of 10.
Yeah, 8.2. I give myself an 8.2.
The only gold medal I ever get in that game is
objective
time.
If you're a tank, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, try 5 gold medals at once. I'm never going to let that go.
Yeah.
Has anybody else here got 5 gold medals?
No.
That was Michael awesome. Phelps has.
Yeah, I think the only guy you could actually do is with Roadhog. He's the only one that can do that much healing.
Yeah, sure. Probably true. All right. Do we have any more highlights and lowlights?
To the news.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're going pretty long here, so let's try to burn through this fairly quickly.
Oh, there are some big news, though. So I want to get into the top one is the one that I want to talk about. CSGO gambling site scandal.
Interesting.
Have you guys heard about this?
No, I'd love to.
Two big YouTube streamers. We might have talked about this last week. Two big YouTube streamers basically got caught. They were pretending like they had found this CS:GO betting site, and it came out later that they are actually owners of the CS:GO betting site. It's a big deal because YouTube, you have to have disclosures if you're
supporting
advertising something that you own. You have to disclose that fact, and these people didn't. But this is all leading. There's also two pending lawsuits about with Valve about betting sites related to CS:GO skins. So there's a whole lot of things going on right now with CS:GO skins and betting sites. And
I feel like CS:GO is like Mos Eisley. It's just the group of, I don't know the line. What's the line, Bobby?
The wretched eye of the scum and villain.
Yes, exactly. Steam,
like everybody's just trying to hump each other.
Steamed is a offshoot of Kotaku that does specifically PC gaming news. They have a good article on this stuff. So if you're interested, Steam does a good breakdown of everything that's going on.
Maybe we should talk to them.
But it's a very interesting thing that's coming up because there could potentially be changes specifically because of lawsuits coming up because of these CS:GO skins. And there could be changes on how people YouTube advertise based on stuff coming up because of this. So keep your eye on it because it might actually impact how you get advertisements related to gaming.
Cool. What's the next one, Bobby?
Also, ESL Cologne is going on, probably the biggest Counter-Strike tournament of the year.
I watched some of that, and I was straight from Steam, actually. You could get that. I was enjoying it
pretty heavily.
All right,
actually.
Bobby, click on that second link, because I called this Palm Desert, Smalm Desert. Last week, we talked about Palm Desert.
Oh, did he get overpassed already?
This dude, in one day, went up to, overtook Palm Desert. And he went up to 1,113 rank on Steam.
Well, Palm Desert is at 1,111, so he's two levels.
There you go,
above.
Chad.
Well, but this guy did it all in one day, basically.
Yeah,
it was a new
way
account.
To do it.
But it breaks down what he did. He spent $13,000 during the Steam summer sale. He bought 2,000. The daily limit was $2,000 to do the.
I hear Doctors Without Borders need some money.
I know. So $2,000 per day, and then he had prepared 7,000 trading card sets, and then he was also getting his buddy to help him. And there was a Steam Summer Sale badge that you could rank up.
Right.
He ranked it up to 54,000 for his summer badge. And I don't know, Bobby, is that a lot? I didn't do any of this stuff.
Did you rank up your summer badge?
Yeah, I think I only leveled it up to 100 something. I didn't do a whole lot of leveling this time around.
Well, he did 54,000. So now there's a new number one. Apparently, Palm Desert is no longer number one. This guy, his name is Stack, S-T-4-C-K, I think.
And
his
you've
name
seen
is.
Him before, Bobby?
No.
Wow. He came out of nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Dang.
That's it for that one. Bobby, you want to go back to the list? Let me
go
see.
Go back to the list.
Evolve's gone free to play, and none of us played it?
Well, yeah. we want to, right? Is this a
yeah,
plan?
Yeah, we do plan to play this. So Evolve Stage 2, the game has gone free to play. If you had already bought the game, then you have some benefits. I think you get about 3,000 credits of in-game currency, and any other stuff that you would already unlock still applies to the game. But basically, they've opened it up because the numbers were extremely low. And this reminds me, I wanted to check this out on Steam charts and see what the increase was when they went free to play.
Well, the article I read said it hit top 20 for games this week.
Yeah, a lot of people were streaming it. You can kind of gauge a game's popularity by looking at Twitch and seeing what's high
up. It's listed number two right there.
Wow.
So let's see. When it
went, air, folks.
When it went free to play, that was July 7th, I'm guessing.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. So playing, I think they had players in like, you know, 1,000, 2,000, maybe even in the hundreds, I think, when we had looked before.
Yeah, but does it necessarily make a game better? Now, being an avid Left 4 Dead player, when they announced that they were coming out with Evolve, I was all hype until the actual game release.
Yeah, much like us.
Will be honest, I have never touched Evolve only because of what I've seen and the price point on it. And I guess it's time for me to finally play it only because it's free now, right? There's no excuse.
Yeah, and that's what everybody else is doing, yeah.
But they also made changes to the game based on player feedback. I think they sped the game up. People were complaining about how slow the game was. And also, I think not only did they make it free, they also have been working on the gameplay to make it a better game. So I would like us four to get and at least try it this week.
Yeah. We sounds good.
For sure.
So, yeah, so it went from around 2,000 to 40,000, 46,000 when it went free to play.
Jeez.
Well, that makes sense. Free to play is free to play.
Well, there's a lot of Russians.
I'm sure it'll go down a little bit from there, but right now, yeah, it is a very hot topic. And, a game like this relies on the size of its community, so it is a good time to play when everyone else is.
And the core game, I still think conceptually is good. It's just how do you execute that conceptually?
Yeah, how do you balance it too?
Yeah.
So TF2 got rid of quick match. Did you guys hear about this? You TF2 guys?
Well, I never use quick match. So
I've only ever
that's the one where you just
TF2 and
This is where you just hit the button and it throws you into any old match.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I never use that.
Yeah,
I was browsing.
It only works in Overwatch.
So they got rid of quick play, and they've added a new casual mode. So to go with their competitive mode, they added a casual mode. There's been a lot of complaints. They're working on it. I just think it's interesting that they just completely just eliminated quick play.
Well, there's a new game in town, if you haven't heard.
Yeah.
And now they got to step their game up.
I also find this funny. It just seems like every time people are coming out with new modes, they fuck it up. Like, when Overwatch competitive mode came out, they were having issues. Now this casual mode comes out in TF2, they have issues.
It's Valve.
Well,
it's going to be okay.
It's true.
Well, I was thinking about this too, because recently I've been kind of annoyed with Overwatch just in general, like not really satisfied with the game for a lot of reasons. And I was thinking back to TF2 when that game originally came out and how much it's changed and how many iterations it's gone through. And I mean, that kind of gives me hope for Overwatch. You know, the issues.
Don't you feel like Overwatch is way ahead of where TF2 was at this point in the game?
Yeah, but my real issue with Overwatch is just how fundamental. Lab Monkey and I were talking about this a little bit, and he was calling it skill compression, which is kind of the term they use for games that take away the skill ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And Overwatch is very, like, if you look at some of the ultimates or ultras or whatever you call them in Overwatch, they're basically hacks or cheats from games. You have your wall hack, with Widowmaker. You had your Aimbot with
Soldier 76.
Soldier 76.
And McCree. And
the thing about the game is it's not very rewarding for me when I play it. Like, when I get, when our team gets wiped by Soldier 76, I'm like, I feel cheesed. Like, I feel like I got cheated here because the guy just, he hit Q and then he just held down a trigger and walked out in front of everybody. Like, there was no skill involved in that. And, you know, when I win, even I don't really feel like all that impressed with myself. And then, you know, I hate when we're about to win a game and someone pulls out Bash and I'm like, all right, fuck these guys, you know. But I don't know. I've just been having, I've been feeling a little frustrated with the game over that. And I did finish my ranked or my placement games. 51 is where I'm sitting at.
Yeah, 51.
You're seven above me.
Pretty bad.
Although if I continue to play, because I had a good streak of games where I played ranked and nobody dropped out. That happened the first time I got back into this, but out of 10 ranked games, four or five of them, people dropped out. So that continues to happen in these ranked games. Quick match, people just jump right back in. It doesn't matter. So I don't know. I think if I continue to play ranked, I'm just going to drop in score. So I kind of left it at that.
As you do in most competitive games.
Yeah. Well, no, Hots, I can't.
You're still undefeated in ranked Smite.
3-0 Smite, undefeated.
That's true.
Yeah, but I just Smite. Enjoy. I think Quick Match is a better mode right now, which is really unfortunate because I was looking forward to ranked so much and kind of improving the quality of the game.
I don't get it. I'm fucking smiles ear to ear every time I play this game. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't get what you guys are talking about.
See, Bobby needs to play with Bobby. Who have you played with in our group?
I think everyone but you.
Really?
Yeah,
he's played.
See, and you guys love the game, but we have a character over here who
Bobby
plays
this week. Let's I've played games with Amelia. I've played games with Chad now. No, it's
well,
you
I'm always
Bobby.
On. I'm always Get on Battle.net. That is the number one place to finally. Okay. It's better than my cell phone
up.
Right now.
We'll do I'll even play HOTS with you because I can play.
Okay,
MOBAs
yeah,
very
I'll definitely.
Well.
I'll hop on my Smurf account. We'll play
you
some games.
You teach me how to hop.
No, rank one Smurf. Your Gargamel account. Gargamel. You gotta get number three in there.
I'm pretty good at MOBAs.
All right,
so
Rocket League is doing crates.
It's for charity.
No.
So, yeah,
loot
it is.
Crates.
Before you criticize, it's
before
for
you
charity.
Criticize, all the money going to the crates is for charity.
I didn't read.
So if you don't like this,
that.
Then you are against charity.
But they're not doing Steam right? Marketplace. They're not doing pay to win. They're all. It's only cosmetics. It sounds like they're doing the crates the right way. And there's even a one check thing where you can just say, I'm not interested in doing the crates.
Oh, that's nice.
And you
this
can just turn it off.
It feels like going to the grocery store and every time you swipe your debit card, you know, they ask you if you want to donate a dollar to some sort of fund. And like that guilt you feel just hitting the no button.
No, like honestly, there's no downside to this. That I know of.
Yeah.
You play the game, you get crates. If you want to unlock them, you can. If not, you don't have to.
Right.
I don't think it's got trading, and you can even turn it off if you want. If you don't want to see the crates, you can just...
It's done right.
Yeah.
And it won't be in the Steam Marketplace.
And it won't be in the Steam Marketplace because they don't want to do the... They don't want this gray market and this betting and all.
Cheese drunk.
Yeah.
By the way.
She's officially just...
If I were drunk, I would not be able to do this.
She's trying to balance...
I am balancing.
Her alcoholic beverage on her hand.
She's tipchy.
She's definitely...
Tipchy? No, come on.
All right.
Stretch.
What's next? The last one is the Summersdale statistics.
Wow, say that we're all drunk.
Yeah. Wow.
Say that five times fast. Okay. So, huge success compared to last year. It was 175 million about what they made this.
What do you think that is?
In sales. They didn't do flash sales and they didn't do whatever the other.
Wait, so it was less or more than last week?
It was a bigger success.
175 million?
No, that was the amount of people that are doing it this year.
Oh, okay.
I kind of like the way that they did the sale this year. I mean, the flash sales kind of, I mean, they were cool, but it was...
People were not using the sales because they were waiting for flash sales.
Yeah, exactly.
So this
it was kind of annoying to have to check back every
sales?
So often.
I'm sorry.
They would do like 12 hours of 50% off instead of 30%
off.
Oh,
like you only have this.
So every 8 hours, there's a couple of games that are heavily discounted, even more than the normal discount.
So they're theorizing about 40% more this year than last year.
Wow.
They were saying
this isn't the first year they've gotten rid of flash sales, though.
This was the first summer sale where they
The first summer sale, not the first Steam sale.
Correct.
They did it the last winter. And I just got to say that I like this style a lot more. It's just like, because this is all on sale, take it or leave it.
The consumer got the assurance that they got the best price.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
Exactly. So they're estimating about 223 million this year compared to 160 last year.
220.
So all in all, they're saying that this year's summer sale was a huge success.
It's getting close to Bobby's bike account.
Gaben is still married.
Yep.
Not looking for a waifu.
He's married to Val.
Soon.
Yeah. I would marry him if I could. But. So that's it for news.
I would marry his left pinky if I could.
Because
he'd still be worth several million.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for that. So what are we talking this week? What's going on?
Have we figured out what our next game is?
Well, I tagged you, Bobby.
We're going to do Gone Home this week, and we'll talk this week about Gone Home.
Okay.
She's cracking herself up.
So, Bobby, you got anything else?
She and Bobby are going to play some video games together.
Actually, let me do this the other way around.
And some of your games, maybe we'll do that.
Yep.
Chad, you got anything?
Nope.
Bobby, say something profound.
Profound?
Yeah.
Profound.
There he did.
So bad. So bad.
Something profound.
I don't even know why I keep you guys around. Fucking amateurs.
For our good looks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Chi, how you doing?
I'm doing very sober.
Okay, cool. So speaking for Chi, Chad, Bobby, and myself, always and forever, from me to you, poop back and forth forever. Titties.